You know, I'm not much of a football fan, but I know a lot of the world today is interested in a football game, and which has absolutely zero effect on my life. But I'm thankful for each of you that are here today to really focus upon what's important. And that's the Word of God and how we can apply it in our life. And I know our brother Jim has come prepared to bring that Word to us. So I'd ask you to give him your careful and your prayerful attention.
Thank you, Andy. Good evening to each and every one of you that are here and those that happen to be live streaming. I am happy to be here, and I do believe the Lord has put a message on my heart, and it's been a hard-fought message. I don't know if because I didn't agree with the message in my own self to start off with, or if it's because, to me, it seems a little abstract. But my family can attest to my pacing, my reading and rereading scriptures, and laying my books down and shaking my head and moving around, especially today. I have fought very hard today to try to make sense of what I feel the Lord has put on my heart, and I hope and pray that with His help, it will come out that way and does make sense. I would like to start in a scripture that should be very well known to each and every one of us. Put on my reading glasses. I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Last two verses of Ecclesiastes, the 13th and 14th verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He's laying it right out there for us. It says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Our whole duty, all of our life, this day that we have is for probation, if we accept it, is to fear God, meaning love God, not be afraid of Him, and to keep His commandments. For God will bring every work unto judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He'll bring it all to the forefront. It'll all be known. So I have a question. Is it always convenient to follow the Lord and to keep His commandments? Is it always convenient to do so? No, it's not. We heard a testimony from Brother Dwayne this morning where with the physical illnesses that they get in their field, they have a rule. It's an unwritten rule. If you can walk, you go. And I think that has been the unwritten rule of the majority of our missionary efforts and those that we send out. If you can walk, go. I remember hearing testimonies from those when I was a kid of the apostles saying how hard it was to leave their family with very little food in the pantry, not knowing where the money is going to come from, even to go on the trip to go and spread the gospel. Not convenient. But they did it. And I believe the Lord is calling us to that same thing, to step up, even if it's not convenient to do so, to keep His commandments. And I wrote down three names real quick of people that I want. You can look in the scriptures and you can see that it was never really convenient for them to do the things that they did, but they did them anyway. Was it convenient for Moses to leave the lifestyle that he had and then to turn around and have nothing and then at the age of 80 come back to lead the house of Israel and to do the things that God asked him to do? Was it convenient for Lehi to uproot his family and to take them on a long journey to an unknown land? But it was a promised land, according to God, to him. Was it convenient for him as a prophet to stand up and to speak with boldness to the people of Israel? Or was it convenient for Nathan to walk into David and say, "You have sinned"? Has it ever been convenient for the people of God to stand up and to testify of the hope that they have within them and the reason why they want to keep his commandments? But to read about one of these stories, I would like to go into 1 Nephi. Page 52. And there are some young people in our congregation that may recognize the story that I'm going to tell, because they had it in their Sunday school lesson this morning. 1 Nephi, the 5th chapter, starting with the 69th verse. And this is after Lehi has taken his family out into the wilderness, and they have traveled for quite some time, and they're now on a shore ready to embark on something, to go somewhere where the Lord was going to take them. Starting with the 69th verse, "And it came to pass that I arose and went up into the mountain and cried unto the Lord." This is Nephi. "And it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto me, saying, Thou shalt construct a ship after the manner which I shall show thee, and I will carry thy people across these waters." Not convenient because of his brothers. Look at Noah. Was it convenient for Noah to speak to the Lord or have the Lord speak to him and to build an ark? I think he was over 400 years old at the time. You can read about that in the 6th chapter of Genesis. The things that he had to do. But Nephi was commanded of the Lord to build a ship. He didn't know how to build a ship. Noah didn't know how to build the ark. But God gave Noah instructions that were written down in the Bible. God gave Nephi instructions that aren't written here. But he tried to do it. He was shown where to go up and to get ore, to smelt, to make tools. He was told every step of the way what he should and should not do. And his brothers got after him, and they refused to help him, and they refused to lift a finger, and yet they ridiculed him. They even thought physical damage against him. So we go on over and we get to verse 156 on page 59. And we read where after Nephi has been talking to his brothers and their family, and he told them all these things, and he comes down to get to this point. He says, "And now if the Lord has such great power," and he talked about Moses taking the men out of Israel and how Moses got water for them and how God has done different things for the house of Israel and how he's warned them and done all these marvelous things that his brothers believed in. They believed in those things. They just didn't believe that God could deal with their father and their brother. because it was against what they wanted. It wasn't convenient for them to be uprooted. And now if the Lord has such great power and has wrought so many miracles among the children of men, how is it that he cannot instruct me that I should build a ship? How? Why can't he do this? Why can't he do that thing? But let's back up. It started at 156. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto them that they should murmur no more against thy father, neither should they withhold their labor from me. For God hath commanded me that I should build a ship. And I said unto them, if God hath commanded me to do all things, I could do them. For if he commanded me that I should say unto this water, be thou earth, it shall be earth. And if I should say it, it would be done. Not that he has the power, but that God would do it for him. Because he was doing something that was inconvenient. And then he ended and said, and now if the Lord has such great power and hath wrought so many miracles among the children of men, how is it that he cannot instruct me to build a ship? He can do whatever he wants. Mankind can accomplish all the things that God will ask them to do, but it's not always convenient to do so. I would like to turn over into Isaiah. In the 58th chapter, and Jay read part of this scripture, but I'm going to go down to the 13th verse. And he's talking about, I think he's talking to us. He said, if thou turn thy foot from the Sabbath for doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath day a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him. He's telling us that, yes, it's hard for us to do the inconvenient thing. Not to do what we want to do on the Sabbath day. But in any other time, it's not just about the Sabbath day. It is what God wants us to do in that instant, in that situation. It's not always convenient, but if we can do it, not doing thy own way, nor finding thy own pleasures, nor speaking thy own words. Not doing the things that we want to do and saying the things we want to say, but doing the things that God wants us to do. Then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God has given us lots of promises, and we are adopted heirs into the house of Jacob, house of Israel. Everything in these scriptures apply to us. Sometimes we really like what they have to say. Other times we bow our neck and we fight them. We don't like it. Don't want to do it. Not to say the word again, but it's not convenient to do the will of the Lord. But we have promises that if we do keep his commandments, that he will do certain things for us. Going back to the Book of Mormon on page 52. First book of Nephi, 5th chapter, starting with verse 58. And thus we see that the commandments of God must be fulfilled. And if it be that the children of men keep the commandments of God, he doth nourish them and strengthen them and provides means whereby they can accomplish the things which he has commanded them. It's not by our strength that we will be able to do these things. It's by the strength of our Lord. If we put our trust in him. If we're trying to, with all our might to keep his commandments. As one scripture says, doing all that we can stand at that day, at that time, the Lord will see to our needs. He will nourish us. He will keep us. He's asked for certain virtues. And our brother Don, the other day, read and talked about some of those virtues. And I'm going to pull some stuff out of the sermon that I spoke last time I spoke that I didn't get to because I felt that I didn't need to. But today the Lord has brought those back to my mind. So I'd like to turn over in Alma, the 10th chapter, page 351. We can see what these certain virtues are. Alma is speaking, and I don't remember the fourth story. I didn't read back to it. The 10th chapter, starting with the 27th verse. And now, my brethren, I wish from the innermost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words, and cast off your sins, and not procrastinate the day of your probation. That ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call upon his holy name and watch and pray continually that you may not be tempted above that which you can bear and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and long-suffering, having faith on the Lord. These are some virtues that we're to have. Things that we're supposed to carry with us. Things that will mark us his. It's by our works others will know who we are. To become humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love, and of long-suffering, having faith on the Lord, having the faith that the Lord will take you in that time and that struggle when it's not convenient to keep his commandments and to make it better. We have the commandments. He will nourish us. He will take care of us. In Galatians, which I believe Brother Don read, he calls these the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. It goes against our nature of our flesh quite often to be this type of person. To allow people to rail, to allow people to accuse, to get angry, to get mad. But to have these fruits of the Spirit, the things that we strive for, these are things that we should be praying for. that we have, that we show forth. Back in Alma, the fifth chapter, on page 325. Alma covers much of this very same thing, starting with the 38th verse. And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you, that I might awake you to your sense of your duty to God. To awaken us to our sense of our duty to God is to seek and try to have these virtues, these fruits of the Spirit within us, that we may walk blameless before Him, that ye may walk after the holy order of God, after which ye have received. And now I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be pleaded with. God is pleading with us. Are we listening? Do we have our ear turned to Him? Even in the clatter of the world that's going on around us, no matter what condition we find ourselves in, no matter how noisy it is around us, is our ear turned to God? That sixth sense. Are we listening for His guidance in no matter what we do? How often, in times of stress, I have heard that little voice. And when I didn't listen, I got hurt. When I did listen, my fellow firefighter said, "We were lucky." We weren't lucky. I was blessed. I listened to what God was directing me to do. And He saved me. He prevented me from being harmed. When we're putting ourselves out there, as our brother Jay talked about this morning, and we're trying to do God's will, and we're trying to be the good Christian, if we open up our home, I'm not saying we should do this, but think about how hard and inconvenient that is to do that. I know some that have, and it ended well. I know some that have, and it did not end well. But they still tried to honor and keep the commandments of God. One of the hard things for me to learn is I'm very distrusting. I've been out there for so long in the ER and the fire department. And like most firemen and ER nurses and police officers, you get tainted. You get so you don't trust people. When they come and knock on my car door and say, "I want money. Do you have money?" But I think I have learned one thing. If it's how they approach me is how I react. If they're holding up the sign saying, "Help me," I'm not too keen on helping them. But when they come up and say, "I'm sorry to bother you. Can I have a few cents for a bus ride? Or can I have food?" I'm not inclined to give people money, but I've become very inclined to say, "Let's go into the store, or let's walk back into that restaurant, and I'll buy you some food." Have I been burnt? Yeah, a couple times. I've been taken for a ride. But most often, I think I really help people for at that moment. Didn't help them down the road, But for that moment, I was doing something that God required of me. That's just an example. Not to build me up, not to say anything, because I struggle and fight with this daily. As we all do. But I think the Lord is asking us to pray about it, to ask for wisdom, to put ourselves out there to be able to be a help to somebody. But then we have to have our ears open to listen to that still small voice and to do that which the Lord is trying to get us to do. Forgot where I stopped. I'll start at the 39th verse again. And now I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to entreat, full of patience and of long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times. See the pattern in these last three scriptures? There's certain words that keep popping up, and they all mean a lot of the same things. But it's a fruit that we are to have. Asking whatsoever you shall stand in need of, both spiritual and temporal, and always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever things you do receive. This morning we read a scripture talking about praying over our fields, praying over everything. I think I was in Alma, the 16th chapter. Page 429. Alma 16, starting in the 218th verse. Therefore, my God, grant unto you, my brethren, that ye may begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that you begin to call upon his holy name, and that you will have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. And humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks, and cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemy. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is the enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of the fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your soul in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your heart be filled. Draw out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those who are around you. These are things that we need. We call out for them continually. We cry for them. We pray for them. But there's more. And this is where I started having a hard time. And I started struggling very hard. But there is more that I think the Lord is telling me that we need to pray for. That we need to add to our prayers. Not only the things that we need physically. But the things that we need spiritually as well. So I would like to turn it into 1 Corinthians. The 11th chapter. Excuse me, 12th chapter. Starting with the first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts. I would not have you ignorant, Paul writes. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Therefore I give unto you, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And they are different and administered by the same Lord. And they are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the spirit of wisdom, to the other the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to the other the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, to others diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the same Spirit, divided unto every man severally as he will. Do we pray for this? I believe it's something we should be praying for. Because it hit me like a hammer when I heard that a member of the Church of Christ that has been a member for a long time said, I have never heard or felt the Spirit of God. Why not? I remember as a child Marvin Ely having the discernment of the Spirit. Because I heard him rebuke it one time in the temple lot. I felt it come in. I didn't know what it was. He did. Why aren't our children, and why aren't we feeling that and hearing that? What are we not doing? Goes back to my last sermon. Are we lukewarm? Are we not testing the Spirit to feel and to hear and to see these things? If not, we should be. These are the gifts, spiritual gifts, that God will give to us to strengthen us, to help us obtain the fruits of the Spirit, to allow us to stand. So that one can, we know, can have the ability to stand and speak wisdom. Another, the workings of miracles. I'm not sure what those miracles are. I would have thought healing was a miracle. And I'm not one standing up here saying that these are things that we should see every day, like if you watch a television evangelist. Because I think they misuse these scriptures. I don't see anything humble there at all. Or long-suffering. These gifts, spiritual gifts, go hand in hand with the fruits of the Spirit. Moroni, in the 10th chapter, page 775. Starting with verse 7. It would help if I would turn to the right verse. Going up to the 6th verse. Whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore, nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledge that he is. And you may know that he is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, I would exhort you that you deny not the power of God, for he worketh by power according to the faith of the children of men. Have we lost faith in these that I read in Corinthians? Have we lost faith in that comforter that God said he would send to us through Christ so we would not be fatherless? Or have we become deaf and just non-complacent about him? According to the faith of the children of men, the same yesterday, same today, and tomorrow and forever. God has not changed. One of the radio stations I listen to, the commentator always signs off with this question: if you don't feel God's presence, who moved? Who moved that we don't have these spiritual gifts in our midst? God didn't move, he's the same. We have moved. So we need to move again, the opposite direction, and draw ourselves closer unto God. And again, I would exhort you, my brother, that you deny not the gifts of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. And they are given to the manifestations of the Spirit of God and to men to profit them. They're given there for our strength and for our edification. For behold, to one is given the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom, and to another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And to another, exceeding great faith. And to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And again, to another, that he may work mighty miracles. And again, to another, that he may prophesy concerning all things. And again, to another, the beholding of angels and administering spirits. And to another, all kinds of tongues. And again, to another, the interpretation of languages and of diverse kinds of tongues. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ. They come unto every man severally, according to his will. And I would exhort you, my beloved brother, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you that you, my beloved brother, that you remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That all of these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. So I have to ask. I know I'm talking to the choir. I'm talking to people that believe. Why hasn't our members felt and heard those things that were spiritual gifts that would allow one or many to say they haven't heard God's voice? To lose their testimony of the Book of Mormon. To lose their testimony of the baptism of Christ. So this is what has caused the turmoil in myself and my sorrow and my anger in a way. I haven't been praying for these. I haven't strived for these. I have strived for the fruits, but I have not strived for the spiritual aspect of God to be in our midst. By these fruits they shall know you. It's by these things that the world will see our light and know who we are. Because Christ will manifest himself in these things to us, to those that we testify to. I believe in the scriptures. If I believe in them and I'm striving to do what is right, I can't pick and choose. And I think that we have lost the yearning and the desire to have these spiritual gifts in our midst, because we'd be ridiculed or criticized by the world. I remember when I was talking, in a way it was testifying, but there was a group of firemen sitting around talking about things that they have heard and things that they have seen, and I sat and listened for a long time, and finally one of them turned to me and says, "You're awful quiet, Yates." And I go, "Yeah, I am." "Well, why?" "Because some of the things that I've seen, I don't think you guys would believe. And I don't want to be ridiculed." "Well, like what?" "I don't remember what I testified to them, what I said exactly." Three of the six guys stood up and go, "Ooh," making ghost sounds. They ridiculed me, the very thing I was afraid of. It was not convenient. Maybe I should have done it earlier, to my shame. But maybe we should be like Moroni and many others And I will close with the 17th verse of 10th chapter of Moroni on page 776. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if you have faith, you can do all things that is expedient unto me. If we have faith and are willing, we can do all things that are expedient in Christ. I thank you for your time.